Welcome to the State of Energy. I'm Randy Witt, along with a man who may or may not have classified government documents in his basement as we speak.
In my garage.
In his garage. We just get next to your Corvette. But we don't know if who's been there because you have no visitor log. So how can we find out if these documents may or may not?
I'm sure you could figure that out pretty quickly. You look at my Ring camera. I don't know.
He's Tom Clark.
But nobody comes to Tom's house.
He's Tom Clark, Executive Director of Rocky Mountain Propane Association. And the man looks sharp in a tuxedo, by the way. I got a picture of you and your beautiful wife all dressed up at the house.
Yeah, we did. We had a nice little New Year's gala event. I wish you could have made it.
Yeah, I would have. That would have been incredibly awesome. Tony, our director, wants to go next year as well. He looks great in a tuxedo as well.
Good. Yeah,
I'll wear a dress.
You got the hair for it. You would look nice in a dress.
In case I haven't done this, folks, that's Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. You can go to thestateofenergy.com to find out more about what we do and how propane can improve your life and your wallet, also get some rebates. We still doing rebates right now?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we got a $200 rebate if you're going to change out one of those dirty electric water heaters for a nice clean burning propane water heater, or maybe you want to get rid of one of those electric dirty cooktop stoves and put in a nice clean propane stovetop. We've got a $200 rebate if it's done safely from a propane professional. We've got a rebate to help make sure that was done properly.
Wait, I thought we were being mandated to all go towards electric stoves and ovens.
Can you imagine what an electric, an all electric life would look like for a minute?
Yeah, shocking.
I like it. That was nice.
Thank you. Well, let me just tee this up for everyone. There's a story, we'll take this one out of Time Magazine. The first paragraph opens up talking about the common kitchen appliance that was thrust into the spotlight this week after a Democratic member of the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, an agency charged with protecting the public from dangerous household products, told Bloomberg News gas stoves could potentially be banned due to their health hazards. And the conversation triggered a sharp rebuke from the oil and gas industry, but also many Republicans who used the issue to push back against what they say is Democrats' overzealous environmental regulation. And of course, right after that, the agency clarified, saying that there is no plan to ban gas stoves in the near future, and that was only, quote unquote, researching gas emissions and, quote unquote, exploring new ways to address any health risks.
It's pretty bizarre. I mean, they turned that thing around pretty quickly.
So fast.
And, I was really interested in kind of some backstory behind this. And I started researching the gas stove. Where this thing started from, but I got going down a rabbit hole, and I probably spent way too much time just researching emissions and gas stoves and world problems than I probably should have. I think I spent my whole weekend doing things that I probably could have spent my time somewhere else better. But think about this for a minute. There's 3 billion people around the world, almost half of the world's population, or 40%, that don't have access to clean gas stoves. They're using charcoal, wood, and dung.
Okay, yeah.
That's real. That's real.
Right on the way in to do the State of Energy podcast, I get a link sent to me. It just says, cooking with dung.
it sounds funny and we're kind of laughing about it, but 2 billion of those of the 3 that don't have access to clean energy, 2 billion people around the world are using dung to cook and heat water in their homes. Now, can you imagine, here we are using the cleanest energies that we can get our hands on, and natural gas and propane have been used for years and years to cook at your home. Mm-hmm. And just a teeny tiny amount of emissions that come off of these things is just, it's almost not even measurable. And most of this, the emissions inside of your home from cooking come from the things that you put inside of your pan that you're cooking.
Yes.
It's not from the gas that's heating the pan. It's from all the oils and the foods and everything you burned while you were cooking your food, right? Yeah. It's not...
I mean, nothing quite equals kimchi, but, you know, go ahead.
But most of us have some type of ventilation hood that you should turn on as well, mm-hmm. and get those emissions from cooking out of your house. But I did some research, and I found that between 4 and 6% of the worldwide deaths are caused by these 3 billion people that are cooking with wood, charcoal, and dung, because their emissions inside of their homes are about 1,000 times worse than yours.
Yeah, because it's all, they're like being cooked with it almost inside of these houses. And it's just, it's like smoking a carton of cigarettes in an evening.
It's horrible. They don't have the access to electricity. They don't have access to clean energy. They don't have access to gas. They don't have access to infrastructure that we have. And I started thinking about, you know, when a country like the United States that is already, you know, really advanced, and we've got, everybody has got access to clean energy, and we start to think, let's ban gas stoves, where the rest of the world, or at least almost half of the world, would just love to have access to a gas stove. So what happens when a country like the United States says, we're not going to sell any more gas cook stoves? What do you think happens to the production of gas stoves? What do you think the affordability for a gas stove, what happens to that, mm-hmm. when the manufacturers can't even make gas stoves because nobody's there to buy them?
Yeah, it's very true. And it's something that just doesn't get acknowledged. I mean, the rush for electrify everything, so many people overlook what's happening in the Congo with mining for minerals.
There's going to be repercussions from that, which would be, if you don't have manufacturers that are going to sell in the United States, then certainly that product's not going to be available for these third world countries that are begging for a product like propane to be able to be portable, safe, delivered to their home, and they could be able to put that inside their home and cook or heat their hot water with it. They would love for that type of access.
And what would that do for the environment? Think about how it would clean up the environment. They could see that from space, the difference that would make.
It would be a massive change in our environment to be able to reduce the wood and the coal and the dung that's being used for heat and hot water. And here we are. I feel almost like we're living in like this alternate reality. It's like, is this even real? Are we talking about reducing emissions on a gas stove when half of the world is using cow dung to cook? Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe we're just extremely spoiled and we're just not really in touch with reality from what the rest of the world's needs are.
Well, and I've got two things on this. Number one, they really want to make sure that you understand that dung needs to be completely dried out before you burn it.
Good to know. Good to know.
Okay. It just needs to be completely dried. And number two, now this is a Rand hypothesis. This is a Rand thought. And this thought is not endorsed by the State of Energy, Rocky Mountain Propane Association, or anybody.
Oh, boy.
Probably not even me. But so... we all know that the electrify everything movement is happening, and electric vehicles are being just rammed down our throats 24/7, you know, the future, this, that, and the other thing. And these cars and vehicles need 6 minerals that regular cars don't need. Okay. And these minerals are mostly, if not all, found in Africa. And guess who owns all, if not all, most of the mines in Africa where these 6 minerals need to come from?
Probably some Chinese company.
China.
Yeah.
China. China itself owns all of these mines. So do you think it's a stretch that the Chinese government may want to fuel the fire for electrify everything, move faster, get over to electric vehicles, because they're going to have a run on how the world moves if we all move into electric vehicles around the globe? And it would actually be a shrewd move. Why wouldn't you do that if you owned all the minerals to get everyone off of gas like the United States has, propane, those type of fuels, move away from it because it weakens us?
There's so many things that are bad about this. One, we're going to limit the amount of gas stoves that are available to the rest of the world that need it.
Right.
They need it badly.
That would actually clean up their environment.
Yep.
It would actually clean up the environment that they're in.
Second, the amount of gas used in just cooking alone. So natural gas consumption around the world, I mean, around the U.S., that's who mostly is, most of the people around here are using natural gas at their homes. I mean, the big cities, mm-hmm. way more than propane. Right. But only 7% of the natural gas consumed in the United States goes to cooking. 7%. The rest, well, the majority is 49% of the natural gas consumed goes to water heat. It is a known fact. You can search it. You can look it up. Water heat with electricity is super inefficient. And in fact, if you were to use the same type of water tank that's electric, that's a storage water heater that was electric versus propane, you would save 56% of your emissions by switching from an electric water heater to a propane-powered water heater.
These are the clear facts on why it just feels like there's shenanigans going on with the hyperdrive to electrify everything. It doesn't make sense.
You're going to force everybody. First of all, we're picking on cooking, which is super small segment of the gas users. So it seems like they start off with a smaller segment, but they really made a lot of people mad because a lot of people love their gas stoves. And then when you talk about the energy security of a gas stove, how can you imagine trying to cook in a power outage and you have no electricity? Like you're talking about life and death situations there when the power.
Yeah, your dog would starve.
My dog, I'd have to heat his dung just to cook his food. I'd have to go outside.
Let it make sure it's dried out first.
the truth is though, I mean, if the power goes out and you have no alternative source to cook for your family, I mean, it could be really bad. I mean, especially if there was some water problems and you needed to heat your water before you could actually drink it. This is an energy security disaster.
Is there anyone talking about this besides the likes of us? Is there anyone drawing, you know, the important lines that need to be drawn here for 2 billion people?
You know, people around the world are trying to switch to propane so they can quit cutting down their forests because a lot of them are using wood
right.
for heating and hot water. And then the charcoal production is nasty, dirty, and it puts off a lot of emissions too. So there's a whole worldwide push to move towards using gas for hot water and cooking. And our country is trying to get rid of it. It doesn't make any sense.
You are listening to The State of Energy, along with Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Rand DeWitt, and you can find out how propane can improve your life. Check out past shows, even get some rebates by going to thestateofenergy.com. That is thestateofenergy.com. We're also on Instagram, @thestateofenergy. And you read any interesting articles in the New York Times lately there, Tom?
Oh, man. You know, The New York Times is pushing, they're pretty much just attacking everything right now. They're pushing this electric agenda just as much as anybody else. And if you're we're not anti-electric,
no,
but we're we're for energy security, we're for energy choices, and we know that you just can't flip a switch and make everything be electrified. And we know the data that shows that electricity in almost every single state is dirtier than using propane.
From start to finish.
Like those are real facts. And you know, when different groups out there start to attack the propane industry for trying to share the knowledge, it's pretty unfortunate.
It just kind of feels like it's that, you know, that shadowy figure in the background pushing this, because it doesn't, you know what I'm saying? You know, it doesn't add up.
There's so much money in electrification that people are really worried about the pushback from electrifying everything, and they want to get their hands on trying to use up all this government money that's pushing the electrification of everything. And it's not going to work out for everybody. There's no way possible that you can electrify everything and actually cut emissions. It's impossible. I mean, look what Wyoming's going to put out there here pretty soon with the they're going the opposite direction.
Yeah, Wyoming wants to phase out sales of new electric vehicles by 2035. Yes, you heard me right. While jurisdictions like California and New York move towards banning the sale of new gasoline-powered cars, one U.S. state wants to go in the opposite direction. Wyoming, a cowboy state. They're considering a resolution that calls for a phase-out of new electric vehicle sales by 2035. And, hold on, where to go? There's a section, the final section of this bill calls for Wyoming Secretary of State to send President Biden and California Governor Gavin Newsom copies of the resolution.
I would love to see that. This is purely just...
It's tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
It's tongue-in-cheek.
But it's kind of... I would like to see the headline say, Wyoming bans electric cars by 2035.
Mm-hmm. Well, Engadget, that's what it says. Engadget has the story that I just picked up off of. It says, Wyoming wants to phase out sales of new EVs by 2035. You know, it's just somebody standing up. And it doesn't make sense from Wyoming. It's too spread out. They don't have the electricity infrastructure to be able to do what... Newsom and Biden are leading the charge on. There's another one.
I was in Wyoming last week, and I drove hundreds and hundreds of miles through. There's not very much out there. No. There really isn't. It's a large state with a really low population, and some of these initiatives call for a charging station for your vehicles every 50 miles, and you got to kind of put the perspective of how much does this cost? What's the social cost to the rest of the country to have a charging station every 50 miles out in the middle of nowhere for a few people that can actually afford these new electric cars? And then if you're going to go to Wyoming, why would you even want to take that risk of driving an electric car that's going to possibly... go dead on you out in the middle of the winter, and you can't stay warm. I mean, that
doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Our government right now, it's literally throwing, $1 billion for electric school buses by and large.
Yeah, that electric school bus deal is out of control. $1 billion in 2022 that they spent to... And I hate the word zero emissions.
Because it's not true.
It is not true. I mean, Wyoming obviously did this, is doing this little political stunt, because they produced a half of a trillion pounds of coal last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a half a trillion. That's a lot of coal.
I think you sent me a picture standing next to the train that never ended.
Where does that coal go? It gets burned into electricity. And they also produce almost about 1 billion gallons of an equivalent of gasoline, 1 billion gallons of natural gas per day. And a lot of that goes to electric production. And so when the federal government comes out and says zero emissions school bus. Like, come on, man, we've got to be honest with people and let them know where that comes from. And we talked about this last week, but for that same $1 billion, they could have replaced like what, 100 times as many buses that could have been on propane versus electric.
Yeah.
I think they only got like 2,500 buses.
Yeah, 2,500 buses. They did. And 95%, which is 2,448, are for electric buses. Propane, got 109.
Only 100.
109. There were 16 compressed natural gas buses.
The reason why the 2,400 were electric and not propane was because the incentive was off by 1,000%. So the incentive for the propane bus was only $30,000. Mm. And the incentive for the electric bus was like $400,000. So I was like, why would I not, you know, why
would to be?
Yeah. If I was going to give you $400,000 or $30,000, which one would you take, Rand?
Yeah. You know, I'm not good at math, but yeah, let's, I mean, the Clean School Bus Program could have placed as many as 29,000 propane school buses on the roads. 29,000 versus 2,500.
You would be foolish not to go with the electric bus.
Right.
Money, you know, if the federal government's giving you that money out, but these guys are going to pay the price at the end because these buses are going to need battery replacements. They're going to be expensive to maintain.
And minerals from mines that China owns in Africa. These are not giant leaps that I'm making here.
If the government was honest with the school people and said, look, we're going to give you dollar for dollar the same price for the propane bus or the electric bus, they would have went propane all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But they tipped the scales in electric's favor, and now they're going to go back and say, well, you see, we did 2,500 buses and only 109 of these people wanted propane, so next year we're just going to bag propane altogether. You know that's coming next.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
What we need to do is push for the exact same, if you're going to give out money for a clean school bus, we need them to say this is the true tailpipe emissions and this is the true amount of money that you're going to get for the reduction in that tailpipe emissions, and propane would come out ahead
every single time. I'm hearing a lot more people in the clean energy world talk about nuclear, even Bill Gates.
Yeah,
it seems like they're trying to open that door again.
Out of all the energy that we consume, you know, I'm going to put this into perspective for you. There's 100 quadrillion BTUs of energy used every year. So that's a quadrillion.
It's a lot of zeros.
That's 1,000 billion. And 79% of that comes from natural gas, coal, propane, oil, gas. So there's only, you know, 22% that's coming from stuff like nuclear, wind, solar, hydro. We got to have a big variety of basket, a big basket of different energies, and maybe nuclear there's a home for that.
Yeah.
But when it's all said and done, their nuclear waste has to go somewhere as well.
That's a good point.
You got to be able to weigh out the end results of where this stuff goes when you're done with it.
All right, and just to be clear, because I'm sure there's some people with their hair on fire right now, I want to reiterate what you said. We're not anti-electric, not anti-hydro, solar, wind. We just think that propane can play a great role in getting us to where we need to be with clean energy without all the craziness that we're doing by draining our financial bank accounts as the government.
Yeah, there you go. You hit that one right on the nail on the head there. We are already here. We don't have a bunch of federal subsidies. We don't need $1 trillion worth of federal spending to get this thing going. It's already here. We could double our consumption in the U.S. We already have that much propane, and we're renewable. We already have renewable biopropane on the streets right now that's being used in vehicle use. right now, today, there are vehicles driving down the highway using renewable propane that's cleaner, less carbon footprint than anything else available.
That is Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Rand DeWitt, and we are always online at thestateofenergy.com.